Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Average Joe Radio. This is Average Joe. January 19th, 2020. Today we're going to talk about retirement. I'm not retired. I hope to live long enough to be retired one day. Currently, I imagine I'll have to ask for the day off for my funeral. Probably never heard that one before. Rimshot. Ba-da-boom. But no, I hope to retire one day, trying to make some preparations for that. Anyway, before we get to that, we'll move on to our This Day in History. In 2007, January 19th, the first McDonald's drive-thru opens in Beijing. Riveting information here on Average Joe Radio. You've been hearing a lot about China lately with the trade agreement and everything that's been going on. McDonald's is everywhere. There's probably a McDonald's on the moon. As many times as they've been up there, I would imagine that you can, once they do start public transportation to the moon, you will be able to get a Big Mac when you arrive. On January 19, 2007, in Beijing, China, the capital city of the planet's most populous nation gets its first drive-through McDonald's restaurant. The opening ceremony for the new two-story fast food eatery located next to a gas station included traditional Chinese lion dancers and a Chinese Ronald McDonald. That must have been really interesting. I wonder if they call McDonald's like American, an American restaurant, like we call a Chinese restaurant Chinese, but it's really not Chinese anyway. It's just, you know, traditional Chinese. And I'm getting off track here. According to a report from the Associated Press at the time of the Beijing drive-thru's debut, China's double-digit economic growth has created a burgeoning market for cars, fast food, and other consumer goods. The country overtook Japan last year to become the world's second biggest vehicle market after the United States, with 7.2 million cars sold, a 37% growth. Fast food chains from foreign countries first came to China in 1987. This one might weird you out. And I think I've actually told this before, with the opening of a Kentucky Fried Chicken restaurant. That was the first one. Colonels everywhere too. I bet they got a KFC on the moon too. The home of the Big Mac and the Happy Meal arrived in China 3 years later, and in 2005, McDonald's, the world's largest fast food chain, launched its first drive-through restaurant in China, in the city of Shenzhen. It's either Shenzhen or Shenzhen, I'm not sure which, in Guangdong province, near Hong Kong. The Beijing drive-through was McDonald's 16th Chinese drive-through. In September of 2008, ChinaDaily.com reported that other than America, China is the number one growth market for McDonald's, with 960 restaurants and over 60,000 employees. McDonald's opened its first drive-through in the U.S. in 1975. Before there were drive-throughs, there were drive-in restaurants where customers would place their orders at curbside speakers. Servers known as car hops, who often wore roller skates, then would drive or bring food orders directly to the customers' cars. Standard drive-in fare included hamburgers, hot dogs, root beer, and milkshakes. Drive-ins reached the height of their popularity in the 1950s, but there's still a few around. Still a few around. So, anyway, let's talk about retirement. What is retirement? Most people know what retirement is. Many don't really know what it takes to retire. Most of those people are probably fairly young. Hopefully, more people than not will start preparing for retirement when you're young, because the sooner you start putting some money in the bank for that day that seems like a million years from now, it is not a million years from now. It comes a lot quicker than you think, and you've probably heard that from your grandpa. Retirement, according to the dictionary, is to withdraw from one's position or occupation or from active working life. You can achieve retirement when you have sources of income that do not have to be earned by working. Retirement and the term financial independence are often used interchangeably. Now, I wouldn't necessarily say that financial independence is, I wouldn't agree with that, because there's a lot of people that are retired by necessity. Their health usually is the reason. They may or may not have enough money to get by on, and we'll talk about that some more in a minute. Most people are looking for that Social Security check. The Social Security didn't start until, let's see, the act was signed into law by President Roosevelt on August 14, 1935, in addition to several provisions for general welfare. The new act created a social insurance program designed to pay retired workers age 65 or older a continuing income after retirement. And that money was actually taken out of your paycheck, as it is now, pre-tax, and then put into a fund and hopefully to be invested. But we know that how that turned out with the government, how efficient they are and how well they handle money. So they've actually broken laws. I'm not an attorney, but I do play one on TV, and they've actually used that money for other things which they were not supposed to do. There's all kind of rumors about what it was used for, and I won't get into that because it's going to sound like I'm trying to be political. And I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. You're welcome. If you want to call in, the number to call in is 914-219-0884. If you're retired and you'd like to talk about retirement for a minute or two, call me. I'd love to hear what you've been up to since you retired. But the thing about retirement, like I said, you don't have to be old to retire. And as a matter of fact, you don't have to retire. I know people that have worked, until they just can't work anymore. And so I guess they eventually do retire, but usually there's at least one or two particular cases I know of, they just worked until couldn't work anymore. And then once they were done, they were done. They died not too long after that. It's like that was their purpose in life, was to do that job. A lot of them are, entrepreneurs, own their own business. A man that I used to work for, he owned a music store, him and his brother. And he worked, I'm pretty sure, into his 80s. And eventually he just, he couldn't. His health just wasn't good enough, but he didn't last too much longer after he finally stopped working. It was, him and his brother, and then, of course, his nephew eventually owned the business. But, I think biblically retirement is never mentioned. I don't think, from Christian Judeo culture, retirement is not required or even mentioned in the Bible. You know, if you can, why not? If you want to, you know, my brother, he's past the age of retirement, technically. He could retire, but he has chosen not to. He likes his work, and you know, his health is still pretty good, and so he's still working. And that's good. You know, he's still being a productive citizen of the community. So let's talk about some of those income possibilities. 914-219-0884. I don't know what happened to Mr. Scott this evening. I heard from him earlier, but undoubtedly he fell off. He said he was going to be here, but I know y'all are disappointed because he always has something good to add. I'm being a little bit sarcastic, but he actually does have something good to add. He always had some good material, some good points, and he may show up. So of course, like I said, Social Security—that's the one thing that a lot of people have depended on being there for when they retire. In this day and age, it would be difficult to live on just your Social Security. Not impossible, and I'm going to tell you how. It's pretty simple. If you don't have a mortgage, in other words, while you're working, you get your house paid for, or you buy a house that, you know, is, you know, or if you're paying for a house, you sell it and use the equity to buy a smaller house that you can pay for. However, how you have to do it, you don't want to have a mortgage or rent. Then that greatly increases your chances of being able to live on just Social Security. Now, you're probably not going to be living large, but you can probably, you know, survive and have the things that you need on a daily basis. You know, if you have that, and then also maybe have put some money in a 401k, even better. Or if you happen to work for a government or a company that has a pension and you've got that coming to you, then you're set. You're in good shape. But so far as the Social Security goes, I mean, my grandmother, now granted, this was back in the 60s, 70s, and I guess early 80s. She actually ended up living with my aunt and us for a while, and then even in, she was in a nursing home for some part of her life. But she lived alone in her little house that was paid for. She had no mortgage. She got $350 a month for Social Security. Her and my granddaddy were farmers. I think he worked, did some other labor, but they were never well-to-do. They were poor, actually. My mom grew up pretty rough or pretty tough, and but anyway, she got by on $350 a month. Now, she had a very basic life. Her house was small. She heated with wood. She did actually eventually go to fuel oil, but she just lived very simply. But, you know, she was fine. She was happy. So, like I said, it can be done. But, you know, lifestyle, it's probably going to have to be trimmed up a little bit. 914-219-0884. I am not a broker or a financial advisor or anything like that. I'm just having a conversation, telling what I know about, just life experience here. Before I forget about it, we're gonna get on with some more stuff here. But I have been teasing you with the fact that we're going to be talking about UFOs. We're still going to be talking about UFOs, and I'm not sure when. Well, I might be sure when, but I'm not telling you. Okay, so those streams of income, Social Security, we talked about that, 401k, most companies, larger companies, there's my frog of the nightclub. let me drink some water. Okay, I need to have a cough button on my equipment here. 401k. Most companies offer that option. If you're working for a company, that you have a certain percentage of your pay deducted from your check before tax, and it goes into a fund, and it's actually tax deductible. You don't have to pay tax on that. and it's invested. You can choose, how much of a risk you want to take in that investment. You can put it in a very conservative investment, like a kind of like a savings plan, or you can, play the stock market and get a little bit more risky, or get risky. I actually have what's called a Century 2025 plan, which actually is more aggressive so far as risk goes up front, but then as it gets closer to 2025, which is only 5 years from now, then it starts to become more conservative, so I don't lose my butt, close to when I'm getting ready to retire. So there's that, and a lot of companies will match some of your money that you put in there, so that's the easiest money you'll ever make. IRAs, there's at least a couple of different kind of IRAs. Clark Howard talks about those a lot on his show. He really loves the Roth, which is what you actually pay tax on it now when it's not the tax deductible up front, but then when you use it down the road when you do retire, you don't have to pay tax on it. And then there's just a traditional IRA, which you get the tax benefit now, but you may have to pay taxes on it later if your income is high enough. So that just, you have to kind of calculate or figure out what you anticipate your income being when you do retire. Some people get a pension, or will be getting a pension and have a pension. Most governments, anything from state, federal, local governments, have a pension plan for their employees, a lot of teachers. But some of that is actually starting to be dialed back. Just because of budgeting. Fortunately, most people are grandfathered in. If you got it, you'll always get it. And then another thing, of course, this is not income, but this is just something you have to think about. 914-219-0884, a big thing you have to think about for retirement is medical. Because if the older you get, the more medical issues you're probably going to have, so you probably need to have some good medical insurance. Now, once you're on Social Security, you'll probably have Medicare, which is a government funded, which you actually participate in paying for, because that's taken out of your check just like Social Security. But to have an alternative medical insurance is probably a good idea as well. As I mentioned, you probably are going to have to, in most cases, I shouldn't say that. In many cases, you're probably going to have to downsize. Above average Joe and myself, we live in a pretty big house now, relatively speaking, but that's because my mother lives in an apartment downstairs. So by the time I retire, not likely my mother will still be around, but above average Joe and I are not going to need a house this big, so hopefully we can just sell it, and then we'll take the equity that we have in it and we'll put it in a smaller dwelling, and we'll live there and we won't have a mortgage. That's the plan. 914-219-0884. But before, like I said, the Social Security Act did not happen until 1935. That was Roosevelt. Let's see here. Roosevelt brought that into play. But before that, what did people do? They had to either be responsible enough to put aside some money, or they were screwed, but most of the time generations just stayed in the same household, and you know, there'd be multiple generations living in the same house, so we'd be taking care of Grandma, and Grandma would be taking care of the kids. So it looks like they got a caller. Hello, caller.
Hey, Average Joe. This is Below Average Jim down in Florida. How you doing?
Below Average Jim. Man, you finally made it.
It finally worked out to actually get and listen to you live, and got a little bit of battery left in the phone. Yeah, everything pulled together tonight. I thought you'd like to hear from
what a coincidence. Yeah, I was going to say, what a coincidence. We now have an expert on the line about retirement. I'm only dreaming about retirement. Jim is living retirement.
And it's not
what
bad.
What you got for us, Jim?
It's a great lifestyle. Moved to Florida. I got away from all the snow and ice. I still come up to New Jersey in the summertime, have the beach in the summertime. So it's a nice combination. But the best part is just the freedom to do what you want when you want to do it. But as you said, you got to watch out. There's pitfalls along the way. When we get together down here and have a function in our retirement park, the biggest topic is what's going wrong with your body now? How many doctors have you been to? And, I got through the first 74 years of my life with, one or two just minor hospital visits for like hernia and some other operations like that. But, in the last three years, I've lost count of the number of times I've been in the hospital. I've been ER with a variety of things, and that's not uncommon at this age. So
yeah.
What you were saying is true. My advice to younger people is if you're not independently wealthy and you have a job, just max out the 401ks and start living this lifestyle as early as you can. I've been to Europe a couple times. We just got back last month from a long cruise down to South America, and it's great. Yeah, just being able to take off when you want, do what you want, and sleep late if you want. It's just a great lifestyle.
That's wonderful, Jim. I'm glad you're getting to do that. for the audience, Jim and I have known each other for at least 15 years, I would say.
Probably, I'd say 20 years.
Yeah.
At least 20 years.
So Jim, you know, being retired, he's older than me, and so I kind of look up to Jim and mentor. He's kind of a mentor for me. I ask Jim a lot of advice sometimes, and I know that Jim's going to tell me, even if I don't like his answer, he's going to be honest with me, and I appreciate that, Jim.
Well, thank you.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
There are people that are continuing to work. We have some retired people in our retirement park here in Florida that are still working, some of them because they have to. It's not as cheap maybe down here living in a retirement park as if they were living back north in a small home and had the mortgage all paid for. Although this is an inexpensive lifestyle, it's still rough for some people. Some people work because they like it. I like what I'm doing. I like volunteering for different things and being able to pick and choose what I want to do and not being locked into a lifestyle where somebody's telling me where I have to be, when I have to be there, and what I'm going to do, and when I can go to lunch and when I can go home.
Right.
I make all those decisions for myself, and I like it. It's very comfortable.
That is the way it should be. And that's good timing because I was kind of my next bullet point was basically what do you want to do when you retire, and one of the things you mentioned was traveling, and that's something that Above Average Joe and myself would like to do is do some traveling, and we just don't want to wait until we're so old that we are not able to travel anymore. So I would say that's probably a good idea to go ahead and get some traveling in right off the bat. And we do try to travel some now when we can, money and time. That's what it takes. But and then also retirement community.
We've done a bunch of cruises in the last several years, and cruising is obviously something that is skewed toward the older people. On the cruise ships, there's a preponderance of older people. But it's amazing. There are people in wheelchairs. There are people in walkers. It's all attitude. If you're positive about life and go through life just liking what's going on and not finding what's wrong but enjoying what's right, you can continue to do those things no matter what kind of conditions you're in. But one of the nice parts about living here in a retirement park is I'm watching people here in their 80s and 90s that are out walking every day. We had a gentleman in the park who would walk around. It's about 3/4 mile around our park, and he'd walk around all the way around the park every night when he was 80 with his mother. And she walked all around up the park with him at like 101 or something like that. So, you know, and it was almost inspiring at one point. At one point I came down here and I said, boy, I'm feeling old around all these old people. But then I realized that they're out living life and enjoying it. And they're not sitting around just bemoaning the fact that they're getting older and getting weaker. And it's just attitude. But if you think right, it can be a lot of fun. And I've slowed down. I have to be a little bit more careful when I hop up out of a chair. I have to sort of stand still for a few seconds till I get stabilized before I start moving. But then again, once I start moving, I'm typically walking 7 to 10 miles a day just to keep agile and I want to keep this going as long as I can. So I get out there and keep moving.
I don't blame
you. It's fun. It's not so much fun sometimes down here when it gets hot and humid, but still it's good to be moving. The alternatives are not very favorable. So I like to keep moving.
Yeah. No kidding. So that, you know, it sounds like just seeing other people older than you that are still out there getting it done, it gives you hope and gives you motivation. And, you know, that's good to hear. You know, it's good to know that, you know, just because you don't necessarily have a job to go to every day doesn't mean that you have to stop. If you do stop, you're probably not going to last too long. I know that's happened way too many times, but down so far as retirement communities, and that was one of the things I wanted to talk about aside from your story, there are a lot of retirement communities in the Florida area, I guess mostly because of the weather, I would assume.
Well, sure, it's a great place to come. Yeah, we were in the low 80s today. It's going to be cool for this coming week, but last week was in the mid to upper 80s and bright sunshine and clear blue skies. Just gorgeous weather down here. And even when it's cold, I mean, by the standards I had when I lived back in North Carolina, wasn't too bad up there. Ohio was pretty brutal when I lived out there.
Yeah.
But wintertime down here is delightful. It's the dry season. So there's not a whole lot of rain, and we can get out. But as you said, there are endless retirement communities down here. They just go one after another. And, you know, I've got I inherited a double wide is what happened down here in Florida. And we tried it one day and said, wow, this is pretty nice. We came to Florida for a month one winter and tried it. And then we came for 3 months the next winter and went back and put our house up for sale up north. And just move between Florida now and the Jersey Shore, and having a great lifestyle.
That's awesome. I guess another advantage to living in Florida too is the tax laws. You know, when you have a not necessarily limited but at least fixed income, typically as a retired person, it's probably a good idea not to have to give all of it to the government.
Well, yeah, it's nice to be in a state that has no income tax. It makes tax time easier, and it's just a little bit cheaper. And our sales tax is 6%, so it's not much worse than most other states. So, yeah, it can and the cost of living down here, some people say it's a little bit higher than up north, but I didn't notice it. I'm fortunate that when we were a lot younger, my wife was able to put money away, and I've got a pretty comfortable lifestyle. I'm not rich by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm comfortable. I can do the things I want to do, and I just keep an eye on it. But like you said, you know, my real estate taxes down here, I think last year it went past $300 for the first time in it for a year.
Wow. Golly. That's like less than a third of what I pay, and I live just in Piedmont, North Carolina. Wow. Well, Jim, we're up against the clock here, but golly, I am super, super glad you got to call in finally. This was a perfect show for you to call in on. But Jim calls himself below average, but believe me, that is not true at all. Jim is way above average, and I think the world of him. And again, I appreciate you calling in and your friendship. And keep on there, Jim.
Okay, thank you, Stan, for those kind words. I appreciate it. And we kind of like talking to you guys, and we're still waiting for you to come down here to Florida and visit.
Yeah, I know. We don't have any excuses. We need to do what your text sent me last week about to just do it. So we're going to have to just do it and stop talking about it. And
well, that's the
come down there.
Thing. I lost my wife about 4 years ago. She passed away from dementia, and we had a whole lot of plans we were going to do someday. And you know what? Someday never came. It got to the point where we just couldn't do any of those things. So my attitude now is don't plan, just do.
Yep.
I don't want to hear what people are going to do. I want to hear what they did. You know, just do it and tell me about it rather than tell me what it's going to be like. Tell me what it was
like. Show
me
the baby.
Yeah. And
that's awesome,
Jim. Part of the positive attitude you've got to have. But, boy, it can be a lot of fun.
Awesome. Good advice. Well, listen, Jim, we're going to be out of here, and I hope to hear from you again. And you'll have to text me and tell me what you think of my caller today.
Yeah, I'll have to listen to the playback and see how it was.
There you go. All right, man. We're out of here.
Okay.
Thank you all
Take
for
care.
Listening.
Bye.
You too.